Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. Make sure you go to my website, Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's, Tuttle.net. When you go there, you're going to be able to find every single place you can find me online. Every single social media account that I have, every single platform you can find the Tuttle Daily Podcast, as well as my YouTube channel. So, yeah, kind of was a little clumsy this weekend. Kind of getting into my back to my Florida roots, because I was noticing the other day that I wear shoes way too much. I used to be a sandal type guy, but I really, really have some jacked up feet because I posted a picture of the injury that I picked up. Nobody could be cool. I mean, I'm not mad. I love ribs. I love to bust balls because I do it on this show on a daily basis, but man, you guys were pretty tough when it came to my feet. You know, a lot of you guys were making fun of the toe on my left foot next to my pinky, saying that it's all jacked up, it's like a hammer toe. Yeah, that's because that's my only deformity. Not a lot of people know this. I have a crooked toe on my left foot, and it looks like crap. It really, really does. I don't know why. I think everybody has one of those things that they're insecure about. And I'm just so used to that crooked toe because it's my crooked toe. I've had to look at it every single day. But I was noticing that my feet are pale. I got that straight up farmer's tan because I've been tanning a lot. You know, when I owned the tanning salon with my wife at the time, that Golden Tan, that was the name of the place. It was right there in Maitland. We did really, really good business there, but I would tan all the time. Now, when you go to a tanning bed, you're actually able to tan in the nude. Now, it's really, really weird because I'm outside all the time. I've been working out with my shirt off and stuff, so I got a pretty decent tan going on right now, but everything that's covered up, like my shorts, I wonder if I should go down. I've never, ever done it before. But we have a nude beach near here called Playa Linda Beach. Now, the thing about it is when you go to a nude beach, everybody's like, yes, let's go to the nude beach. I got to go see all the hot women nude. No, that's not what it is at all. Because a lot of the people out there at the nude beach have no business being nude. But I got to tell you, I got to give them credit because they just don't give a fuck. I went to Hedonism in Jamaica when I was on the Monsters in the Morning at Real Radio 104.1 in Orlando, and we were there for 10 days. And I got to tell you, I saw so many wrinkled balls of guys just walking around. Got to tell you, pretty massive slongs, but they're walking around, balls sagging all the way down to their knees. It was a pretty crazy time. I never got nude. I really don't have a problem being nude. I was never nude on camera until I started working at the BRN, the Bubble of Love Sponge show, whenever they film everything. And man, oh man, there were so many stunts that I had to do where I ended up completely nude. I remember the one time that I was in Bubba's Saw for about 3 days. Now, if you don't know what Bubba's Saw is, they lock us in a shed. And they actually torture us. They play music, sleep deprivation, crying babies, flashing lights. Remember one time they threw a snake inside the shed with us while we were sleeping. It was completely dark. They put a bunch of mouse traps all over the floor. Yeah, it was complete hell. And then at the end of it, they had me handcuffed, completely nude. And I got to tell you, at the time, when you go through 3 days of torture, your penis is not laying nice. And by laying nice, pretty much all guys know what laying nice is. I don't know if women know what laying nice is, but laying nice is how you look before your penis becomes erect. Now, after 3 days of torture, little sleep, I got to tell you, I was not laying nice at all. Maybe had not done a lot of grooming because I didn't know that I was going to be nude. And it looked like an acorn in a bird's nest. And I got to tell you, people, that's not the true representation of me. I'm not saying I'm large. I'm above average, barely above average. But that's not a true representation of me. But I really, really didn't care. I was just ready to get the hell out of there. And then one of the other times, I think the first time I was actually nude in public, right before I ended up getting married, Russ and the gang ended up sending me, Drunky the Bear, and Tiffany out to a nudist colony. And everybody else was like, oh, I'm not getting nude. We'll play it up on the phone. Because this is before like all the cell phone cameras and stuff. So we weren't able to stream at the time. And I was like, hell yeah. I got all the way down. And that's when I was at my skinniest. I was almost a little too skinny, like almost Auschwitz skinny. And I'm not trying to make light of the Holocaust or anything, people. So don't try to cancel culture me or anything like that. Just don't do it. But what I'm trying to say is, yeah, I got nude right there. I was skinny as hell, about 6 foot tall. I was about 148. And that is skinny for 6 foot tall. But back to the hedonism thing, about 6 p.m. Jamaica time, which I think is pretty much Florida time as well, too, they would end up having a, let's say, a blowjob competition because the resort was separated into two sides. You had the clothing side, and then you had the clothing optional side. And I got to tell you, they would line up because there was a lot of swingers and stuff there as well, too. The guys would get up on top of the bar because that was the other cool thing. They had the bars in the middle of the swimming pool, so you could swim right up to the bars, and the guys would get up there. Now, it was not like, you know, you were with your couple or your other half. They would just, you would go to a random dude, not me. These are all women. There was no guys that were entering this competition, but they would. The woman that could make his guy or her guy, her partner, finish first ended up winning like $500. And I was like, holy crap. Got to remember, this is like right when I first, maybe 3 or 4 years into the business. I've lived a sheltered life my whole entire life. And to be able to see that, I was like, Jesus Christ, what the hell is going on? And I ended up meeting a girl. It was like one of the first times that I ever had a one-night stand. And the weird thing about it, they had mirrors above all of the beds. So you could actually watch yourself having sex with somebody. Like, say if, you know, the guy was in missionary position, the girl could watch herself. And then if the girl was on top of you, you can actually watch yourself. It was quite a weird feeling to be able to watch yourself having sex. But I digress. Back to what I was saying about my feet being jacked up. The reason why I ended up posting a picture of my feet. If you go to my YouTube channel later on today, I'm going to put up the video. They had a SpaceX launch, one of the rocket launches here at Kennedy Space Center, which I'm about 20 miles north of KSC. So you actually get a really, really good shot. I know a lot of people really are not interested in the space program, but I am. I grew up around here. I've talked about this. One of the first major stories that I remember, one of the biggest tragedies that I remember in my early years, was going out in kindergarten at McGinnis Elementary School in DeLeon Springs. And the reason why it was such a big deal for all the teachers to take their students out to watch this launch live was because of Krista McCullough, who was one of the first civilians to be able to go up in space. And she was a teacher. And this teacher, Chrissy McCullough, was going to be giving lessons up in space from the space shuttle during our time up there. So we all went out there. We watched Challenger go up about 30, 40 seconds into it. Boom. Now, when you're in kindergarten and you're a kid like that, you don't really grasp what happened. You know, something did not go right, but we didn't know what really, really happened. And I remember, you know, the next day, the teachers having to explain everything, because pretty much every single elementary school kid, hell, maybe even high school, saw those astronauts die right in front of their eyes. But I've always been a big space program supporter. A lot of people are like, oh, they're wasting money. Well, if you went around like Cape Canaveral, where they launched from, you would not believe what the space launches were doing because of all the tourists. Man, the money that the businesses were making in that area. So, yeah, I still watch them. I know that Elon's like sending up 2 or 3 rockets a week now. But I ended up going out there and I was not wearing shoes because I'm trying to get a little bit of a tan on my foot. I know it's really, really weird. It just looks weird when I go to the beach. My whole body's tan and then my feet, white. White like that dude from that movie Powder. That's how white they are. So I'm walking, I'm filming, the rocket's about to go up, and right before it goes up on the film, I fall in a land crab hole. Now, I don't know if you know what a land crab is. You're like, oh, aren't all crabs in the water? No, there's land crabs that dig these holes right by the wall, and I stepped in one, and I absolutely stubbed the fuck out of my toe. If you go to any of my social media pages, you can go to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I posted a picture of it, and I got to tell you, I didn't even realize until I looked down, and there is blood everywhere. I didn't even realize how bad I messed it up. And it really didn't even hurt that bad that night. But I got to tell you, the next morning, holy shit. When I put my foot on the ground, all the blood rushed down to my foot. And it just was like, it felt like my heart was in my left foot that it hurt that bad. And it is sore as hell. You know, I used to bitch and call these athletes pussies that would be out. They would miss a game just because their toe hurt. Oh, yeah, I get it now. I get it completely. I can only imagine, like, if a football player or, like, especially a real football player, like soccer. I got to say soccer for my American audience. There's no way you can play with this. I can barely walk right now. This thing is split right down the middle. I think I'm going to lose the nail, but if you go to my social media accounts, twitter.com/Tuttle, facebook.com/Tuttle, instagram.com/Tuttle, you'll be able to see the picture. I was a little worried that I might get banned because I've posted some pretty, not risque photos, but it's really, really weird sometimes what gets reported. All it takes is a couple of people to complain, and I thought my bloody toe, which really was not that gory. It was just a lot of blood. You couldn't see the big gash that I got right down the middle. And I'm definitely going to lose the nail. I know that I am. And then everybody was making fun of my feet. And then people were like, well, that's why you're supposed to wear shoes. No, buddy. It's Florida. Shoes are optional. I don't know if you've ever been to the Oak Hill Sunoco. But people actually judge you for wearing shoes when you go into that fucking place. People barely wear any clothes. Like, I saw a dude in a banana hammock walk in there to buy a tall boy while he is riding his little homemade bicycle that he's got a trailer, a goddamn lawnmower, a weed eater. And I don't even know how he does it, but I got to respect his hustle to be able to do something like that. I ended up having a great Sunday. Ended up getting a chance to hang out with my best friend, Colton. You know who Colton is. Colton used to work for the Bubba the Love Sponge show. He was the program director for Bubba Army Radio. And he ended up driving over, actually rode his motorcycle over to the Orlando area. You know, I usually try to go over there at least once a month to be able to hang out with Colton and his family. His mom and dad, I know, like a lot of people say this, they're like family. No, they are family to me. Mr. and Mrs. Lease, Colton's mom and dad, even his sister, the whole family was kind enough, because if it was not for Colton's family, there is no way that I could have ever come back to the Bubble of Love Sponge show the last go around that I was there. So I ended up staying with his family, and I became really close to them. One of the first people, first couple of people to give me a call were Colton, Colton's dad, Colton's mom, Colton's sister actually got a hold of me as well, too, after they heard that Pops passed away over a week ago to give their condolences. And I'm very, very grateful. I'm going to post the picture. I never, ever did post this picture, because this was getting towards the end where Dad was not getting around as much as he did. You guys got to understand, my dad was a very proud man. And I know sometimes pride can be an enemy. But you also got to understand, my dad was a man's man. I still think he is a man's man. He was an iron worker, perfect balance, walked beams all his life. And this is back before OSHA. This is back before all those safety harnesses and shit you had to wear. They'd probably go into work on Monday after partying and drinking all weekend, hungover. But guess what? They got up, because my mom would not let my dad miss a day of work. Would not do it. My mom had no problem with my dad being out late, maybe going to the Brass Rail to have a few beers, drink with the buddies and stuff. But I guess, you know what? The whole deal was, yeah, you can do that. But if you are hungover and you don't feel like going to work, hell, I remember one time my mom was jumping up and down on the bed because my dad was hungover, had a hard time getting out of bed. But guess what? Mom got his ass going. And that's the thing about iron workers. They show up hungover. I worked with a couple of iron workers from Alabama, and before lunchtime, they would be shaky as hell. They would be shaking. Their welds wouldn't be as straight. But guess what they did? At lunchtime, they had a few tall boys, came back, welded straight as an arrow. And the other, like, weird thing, and I would love to be able to see these guys now to see if they have any eyesight at all. These two motherfuckers welded without welding helmets on, shields, to protect your eyes from the flash burn. And if you don't know about welding, if you look at that flash and you get flash burns, it is one of the most painful things that you'll ever experience. I accidentally got it one time because I was actually even wearing a welding helmet at the time as well, too. And I was in a closed space and it was all metallic. So what was happening, what I was welding, was hitting the back wall and going into my helmet. And I was wondering, my eyes were burning. And the worst thing you can do when you get flash burn is rub your eyes. Because what happens then is that you pop those blisters, those tiny little blisters that you have on your eyes. And then it just feels like somebody dumped the Sahara Desert right into your eyes. It just feels like sand is in your eyes. But back to my dad. I ended up taking a picture because Mr. and Mrs. Lease, I guess that they were hanging out with Mike Custer up in St. Augustine, and they ended up surprising me, and I don't even know, I didn't know until later on how they knew, because they did not have my address, how they found me, how they even knew that I was going to be at home, and I forgot. This is how close I am with Colton's parents, pretty much everybody in his family. If you don't know this, if you have an iPhone, you can share your location through text messages so you can be able to find me. And I forgot that I shared with them And I do this all the time. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's an invasion of privacy. No, I like for some of these people to know where I'm going. Like if I'm meeting a girl for the first time, because in the beginning of 2020, I was using Tinder. You just never know. You never know if it's just a plant, like a woman, and she's got a boyfriend, and they want you to connect with another guy, and then when he comes over, we're going to rob him, maybe like at a hotel or at a random place, enroll him. Yeah, so whenever I go into situations like that, I will call Colton. I'll be like, hey, listen, I'm going to meet this new person. I don't know who they are. You have my location. If you don't hear from me by the end of the night, start worrying. Make sure or give me a call to check on me because you'll be able to find out exactly where I am. So I kind of do that as a little bit of a protection. So if you guys ever find yourself in a situation that you're not sure about, just hit up one of your buddies that has an iPhone. Share your location. Tell them, hey, this is where I'm going to be. If you don't hear from me later, yeah, I might be dead, but at least you'll find out whoever like killed me or like raped me or sex trafficked me. I don't know who would want to buy me in sex trafficking. But I ended up getting a chance. Let me finish that. I got this picture, and Dad, like I said, was not getting around well enough. So he came to the front door, and I took a picture with Colton's parents, Mr. and Mrs. Lease, and Dad was standing behind us on the stairs. And I've never shared that picture, but I think I'm going to post that today on my Facebook page as well as Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. So it was a great time getting to see Colton. Like I said, one of my best friends actually is my best friend. Colton was the only person to come visit me every single day while I was in the mental institution for those 11 days. And I know that it had to be a pain in the ass because visiting hours weren't until like 4 o'clock. You know, and the studio at the BRN was not that far away from the hospital, I think. But Colton also lives all the way up in Pasco County. And I don't know if you have ever been to Tampa, but that's around the time traffic ends up getting really, really, really bad. So Colton took the time out of his day, even to hang out in Tampa traffic, just to stick around and be able to visit me every single day. So sorry about going on the big, big rant there. Just wanted to fill you in on what I did this weekend. I got some more stories from the weekend, but I'm going to take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's, Tuttle with 2 D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. I want to thank everybody that donated to the GoFundMe. And I've never, ever been a big fan of these GoFundMes because you just never know what is real if somebody is just making up something. That's why I'm always a little hesitant. I also know that GoFundMe actually takes a little bit of a percentage. And I get they got a business to be able to run and for them to be able to help people donate and collect money to help people out. They're going to have to be able to take their cut. And I just don't like to beg for money. I don't like to have things given to me. It was just the way that I was raised by Dad. Dad said, never expect anybody to help you out. You got to do it on your own. But Scott York, one of my sponsors as well as my producer, Vulture, ended up setting up a GoFundMe. And I'm blown away, people, because it's really, really going to help out a lot. I don't want you guys to think that we're poor now that Dad's gone. We're not. You know, my dad did not even graduate out of high school, but the guy was smart, bought land, bought about 40 acres before I was born when they moved to DeLeon Springs, dirt cheap at the time. And that's the one thing that my dad always said, buy property, because it's like gold. They're not going to be able to make any more of it unless you live in Dubai. Those Middle Eastern people in Dubai, they're actually building more land. I don't know how safe that's going to be, because all they did was like pour out beach sand, which is not a great foundation to begin with. But Dad ended up buying that property. And then about, I would say, 3 years ago, he ended up selling that. He ended up cashing in. Because after my dad retired, and my parents aren't those type of people, my whole family is not that type of people. We don't live extravagant lifestyles. Yes, money does help. A lot of people always say, oh, well, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. No, it doesn't. But it makes life a lot easier. But my dad ended up selling that, investing it. I don't want you to think he was like this big stock dealer that was, you know, investing in high-risk things. No. It was like 401ks, stuff like that. Low risk type of stuff. And he's done pretty well for himself for a guy that never graduated from high school. And I don't want you guys to think, oh, I'm telling you, oh, you don't need high school. You don't need this. You don't need that. But think about this, people. College is kind of a bad investment for what you're getting in return. It really, really is, because so many of these college students go to school. They go to school for 4 years, maybe 8 years, rack up massive amounts of debt, and they're not even guaranteed to get a job. They're not. A lot of people go and work hands-on. That's what my dad did. My dad learned a trade. I did the same thing, not as successful as he ended up being. But college sometimes is just not for everybody. Just because you don't finish high school does not mean you are a lesser of a person, because you can get out there and learn a trade. My dad, like I said, didn't graduate from high school, but guess what? You could show him a set of blueprints, never even knowing anything about the job, and he could have put that motherfucker together and no problems, no bubbles, no troubles or anything, better than any architect, any construction guy that went to college. Yeah, he could do that. So what I'm saying is, my mom and dad did very, very well. They got great investments. And I was always on their ass about this, because this is the other thing. Because it also gave me a little bit of a complex, because they kept saying, let me back up a little bit. They have been living off of their Social Security for a while, because, you know, like I said, back to it, they don't live an extravagant lifestyle. And a lot of people would always want to bust my balls about, oh, you're mooching off your family, you're living at home. No, like, I started this business, I started this podcast, and I was actually really, really helping out with the rent. I didn't ask them for any money. I was able to support myself. Once again, back to, I don't live an extravagant lifestyle. I don't need an expensive car. Matter of fact, I've talked about this. I have never, ever owned a new car in my life. The last three cars that I've had have been shitty-ass PT Cruisers, and everybody asks me, oh, why do you drive those? They're pieces of shit. Yeah, they are, but I take care of them. They get me from point A to point B. I don't dog them. I change my oil every 3,000 miles. So what I'm trying to say is, long story short, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that donated. I think it was close to $3,000 that people donated. And I got a list of everybody that donated, and I'm going to read some of them out, because some of the people wanted to be anonymous, but I just wanted to thank everybody. So when I get that list, I will personally thank everybody, because what it did was my dad's cremation ended up being over $1,000, which kinda I do not get at all. Why does it cost $1,000 to burn up a body? I mean, I know that we can't do it. I know dad wouldn't mind. What would dad care? I would all be down for doing a badass Viking funeral. If you don't know what a Viking funeral is, I'd like to get a bunch of archers. That's when you get like a wooden boat or whatever, stick it up with a bunch of kindling and stuff, maybe some accelerant. You float the boat. Yes, I rhymed. I'm a poet. I didn't even know it. You just push that thing right out into the middle of the Indian River. Have some archers fire some flaming arrows and call it a day. Because that's dad loved to fish. I think it would be fitting. But yeah, I just don't understand why it costs $1,000. So that went to that. And then the rest of the money is going in my mom's bank account to take care of rent for the next 4 months. So you guys helped out tremendously. I would rather have my dad back instead of the money, but your generosity just like warmed my heart, and I cannot thank you guys enough for helping me through this hard time. So I want to thank Scott York as well as my producer Vulture for doing that, because I wouldn't have done it. I just wouldn't have done it. I'm just not that type of person, but I'm also glad that they did it. If you've been listening to my podcast or my radio career for any amount of time, you guys know that I used to be a humongous alcoholic. I mean, I drink to excess. You know, when I was on Bubba's show, at one point, you know, we were sponsored by Touch Vodka, and everybody knew that I love the drink. I love the beer. I love the liquor even more. That's how bad of an alcoholic I was. Like, I really didn't even like beer that much. And that was my alcoholic reasoning, is because I was like, oh, beer has more carbs, more calories. So I want to go straight to the thing that's going to get me fucked up the most. And there would be some mornings, because we were sponsored by Touch Vodka, that by 10 a.m., I would already be like 8 or 10 shots of vodka in before the end of the day. And then I would stop drinking, because I know a lot of you people are like, oh, well, Tuttle, you shouldn't drink and drive. Well, I had a very, very high tolerance. My body, for some reason, metabolized alcohol pretty quickly, because after the morning show, I would have to do another two-hour show with Lummix and Colton, and then Trace there for a little while. And I would sober up. Maybe was I like 100% safe to drive? Who knows? Who knows? And I feel bad about it. I know easily I could have gotten popped. I could have went to jail. Who knows? Luckily, I never, ever had an accident. But back when I was drinking, I always thought, because I'm a big Anglophile, and if you don't know what an Anglophile is, that is somebody that is into the British, United Kingdom type culture, and the Irish. I would think, and I'm not stereotyping, but I would say out of all the countries that there are in the world, when it comes to drinking, you got the Germans, I mean, you got the Bavarians, whatever it may be, but nobody holds a candle to the Irish. The Irish, the lads are a bunch of friends, guys, hanging out. And I would always see videos like this and be like, hell yeah, I want to go to Ireland and I want to party with some lads. I know that sounds gay. No homo. I am pro-homo, by the way, so please don't think I'm being homophobic by saying that. But I want to just party with the lads, because even more now, even though I don't drink, they would probably like not even let me hang out. They'd probably call me a puss. I would probably be peer pressured into breaking my year and a half of sobriety. But you cannot tell me this speech that this guy gave with a bunch of his lads I think it might have been at a wedding or a bachelor party. I think they call them stag parties over there. But this just sounds fun as hell.
They didn't serve pints.
Oh.
Only buckets.
Yeah!
There was only one barman.
Oh.
Fuck.
I think this guy is giving a great speech. The lads are all fired up. But I think the star of the group of the lads is a guy that yelled, fuck, in the background. Just listen to his delivery on his fuck. It seems like the Irish are great at drinking, cursing, and fighting. And that is in no particular order.
There was only one barman.
Oh,
fuck. For every man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get on there.
The guard's name.
Ah.
A vanguard.
Hey.
She was wearing glasses.
Ah.
A nutness.
Hey. Yes.
Stuff like this does not happen in the United States. Because, you know, I really do think friends are a little bit more loyal over in the United Kingdom. I really do. Because there are no broads. God, that sounds very misogynistic when I say broads. But these guys are just having a good old time. If this was here in America, it would just be a bunch of drunks wanting to fight. Not saying that the Irish don't want to fight. But these guys just sound like they're having a good old time. There are no chicks around. But here in the United States, it's all about getting laid. You could give two fucks about your boys. You would leave them in a heartbeat. And it's kind of like an understanding. Like, back to Colton. I remember one time I was hanging out with Colton at his house. And he needed to take off. Now, I went over there that weekend to hang out with him. But guess what? He had a girl on the line. It was a definite sexual situation. Like, the girl was not even, like, you know, playing games. It was like, if you come over, you're getting laid. And he asked me, he's like, hey, do you mind? I was like, no, man, hell no, go for it. That's how American dudes are. Now, if this would have been a bunch of the lads in Ireland, now, I could be wrong, but they're going to want to hang out with the boys. The chick will be there when I get done having fun with my lads.
Oh.
It was full of hookers.
Yeah.
The cost of favor.
Oh.
I had a tenner.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm a little confused there. I thought they had... Does Ireland use the British pound? Just a little curious there. What's a fiver in Ireland? And what's a tenner? Because I know what fiver is here. That's a $5 bill. I know what a tenner is. That's a $10 bill. What is that over in Ireland? I got a lot of people in the UK that are listeners and supporters of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. And if you're hearing this, I'd love to hear from you. You can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044, or you can leave me an email, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two Ds, T-U-D-D-L-E @gmail.com.
Oh, I fucking love it. A hash
plant. Yeah.
Had no leaves.
Oh.
I smoked them all.
Yeah.
That's the end.
That is the one drug I don't know a lot about. I think hash is kind of like marijuana. I'm not absolutely sure, but I always hear a lot of people in Europe talking about, you know, going to Amsterdam, smoking some hash. I'm going to have to look that up. And if any of you guys, once again, I want to interact with you guys. That's why I keep giving out, like, questions of the day or, like, trying to get your feedback. But have any of my supporters or listeners of this podcast ever smoked hash? I would like to hear. Is it just marijuana or is it better than marijuana? Worse than marijuana? Shoot me an email, tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. I don't even know. See, I don't even know if the audience can even understand what this dude was saying. I never get that because my mom and dad, They always were like, I can't watch British shows because I don't know what they're saying. I'm like, it's pretty easy to be able to understand. I mean, you have just different dialects all across the world, just like you have here in the United States. People from up north think I sound like a slow person, even though I've never even heard that. I don't think that I speak slow. I mean, every once in a while, and I do this. I talked to Amy Sinha, the girl or the woman that does the voiceover stuff for me, and she is a voiceover artist. If you want to go to our website, amysinha.com, that's SINAH.com, Amy Sinha. I've been talking to her every single day, and I was going over some words that we use here in the South because she is always like working on accents and stuff like that. Because, you know, I mean, the more dialects, the more accents that you can do, the more voiceover jobs you're going to be able to get. And I was trying to explain to her, like, stuff here in the South. Like, y'all, that's just you all. I would like to know where the hell that came from, y'all. Why not just say you all? It just does not make any sense. And then when you're about to do something, in the South, you say, I'm fixing to. I'm fixing to go down to the picture show. That's another one. My mom put that one in my head, and I used to get clowned all the time for saying, hey, you want to go to the picture show? I'm fixing to. Fixing to go to the picture show. You want to come with me? And another one is vehicle. I think vehicle is a very, very Southern thing. Instead of like a car. People up north say ka. I've been hanging out with my friend Addie, and she's from a Long Island. And she doesn't bust into her Long Island accent, but when she does, oh my God, it is, I love it. I love it. Not making fun of her, but I do laugh every once in a while. Like if you say guitar, I know that's more of a Boston accent. So I don't even know if you guys can understand this, because when I pulled this video off of TikTok, they actually had to subtitle some of the things that the guy was saying. Because some of the Irish people, they can get really, really thick with the accent, and you can have a hard time understanding it. Gonna take a quick break, be back in a few minutes. I got a great story. Well, it's not a great story, but it's about this rapper that has been incarcerated. And his, not allies, but his enemies, his rivals, killed his grandparents and now have been shooting at his own mother's house. Have that audio for you right after the break. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans, past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast, last segment of today's show. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel because tonight it's going to be the return of the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream. Been having a lot of people asking me why I've not been doing it. Guys, I'm not trying to say what I do is hard work, but when you're not in the mood to do something creative, to be able to talk and just entertain people, and you're not in the mood for it, it's been a struggle just for me to be able to do the audio podcast every single day after the passing of my father. So I didn't want to get on the YouTube live stream until I was ready. I will tell you this. I think that this week, I will finally be over that 4,000 hours that I need in a calendar year to be monetized as well as do the super chats on YouTube. And if you don't know what super chats are, that's kind of sort of like what Twitch is. Twitch, you're able to get bits and donate and tip people. You'll be able to do that soon on my YouTube channel. So tonight, I don't know exactly what time, but just keep an eye out on my social media. I will promote it. But go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get notified whenever I go live or I upload any new content. So please, help spread the word. Tell people. Hell, if you've already watched one of my videos or haven't watched one of my videos, and you don't even really have time, maybe you're at work and you can't listen, just turn on and pick one of my videos, put that shit on silent, and just let it play. Let it play. Help me out. I know that that is cheating, but come on. I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I know that's a horrible thing to say for any of the women out there that listen to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. That's not what I meant. I've never cheated in a relationship in my life. Even though I had to wait 3 years before I was married, because I had already had sexual partners before I met my soon-to-be wife, and she made me wait because she was still a virgin. Worst mistake. Well, I'm not even going to say that, because that's kind of disrespectful to her. At the time, I thought it was great. But yeah, guys, it is true. Do not get married unless you, kick the tires a little bit. Man, that is a bad analogy. Holy shit. Women must hate me. But what I'm trying to say is, yeah, it was pretty bad. And even towards the end, when the marriage wasn't great and there wasn't a lot of sex on the, I still never cheated. I've never cheated. I just don't think it's worth it. If you don't want to be with somebody, then just break it off. I don't understand these guys that try to have their cake and eat it too. It just doesn't make sense. You know what? I mean, that might make you a player, might make you the man, but it just, I've never, ever really, really been into that. So before the break, I talked about this story up in Mobile, Alabama, and I've never understood this. You know, this all began with Biggie and Tupac, the East Coast, West Coast thing. And I got to tell you, I've always believed that Biggie and Tupac were in on it together to sell records. And then it just got out of hand. It really, really did. And then, you know, all the fans, they were all like, yeah, East Coast motherfucker, West Coast motherfucker. Yeah, no, I don't think Biggie and Tupac had anything to do with each other's death. I think this was just like hardcore, like I compare it to wrestling fans. Wrestling fans, some of them back in the day used to get into it so much that they thought it was 100% real. They thought Stone Cold Steve Austin really hated Vince McMahon and really drove a beer truck up to the ring and sprayed him down with Steve Weisers. Yeah. No, that's not how it really, really goes. But this is in Mobile, Alabama, which I didn't know they had a big rap scene. But I guess this one guy, he's in jail. He's incarcerated. His grandparents were already killed by his rivals. And now they are shooting up his mom's house on a regular daily basis.
In this surveillance footage NBC 15 News obtained, you hear five shots fired on Clark Street at 2 in the morning.
They came back.
They keep shooting up your home.
Mm-hmm, and I don't even live here because I had to leave because of that, but them fresh bullets.
Not trying to shock jock here, not trying to be racist or anything like that, but I got to tell you, I actually have had a easier time understanding the Irish lads during that speech than I do with this woman. Like, seriously, why is the news not getting the microphone closer to her, or at least subtitling this? Because I watched this video, and I really, really am having a difficult go at it, being able to understand what this poor woman this mother of this so-called wannabe gangster rapper is saying.
Tanisha Jones believes her home was the target. She wasn't home when the shots were fired, but had been at the home yesterday and believes people saw her there.
They shot it up again. I can see them. I can't hear yesterday.
And those weren't there yesterday?
Not this glass, none of that.
By the way, I know this. You're only seeing the audio, but this house looks like a block of Swiss cheese that has been shot up so many times. And I don't understand, where is law enforcement? Why isn't law enforcement, like, you know, propped up somewhere right down the street in an unmarked car to be able to catch these people? Because this is like the fourth or fifth time that this poor lady's house has been shot up. Like, I mean, the guy's got to feel bad. I don't even know if this, I'm going to have to do a little bit more research on this guy before I make a judgment. But man, the guy's already in jail. You already killed his grandparents, and now you're going after his mama. I mean, they didn't even do that when Big and Tupac were feuding, and that's one of the most famous rivalries in all of music.
A family three doors down.
When I first heard her say that, I was kind of like, holy crap. So three doors down, they are that hardcore of a band now? Like, did they, after they had that one-hit wonder Superman back in the late 90s, they're so disgruntled right now that they're getting into the rap game, and three doors down is shooting up this poor black woman's house? How is that not a hate crime?
Woke when two bullets came into their home overnight. They declined to talk on camera. Jones says this isn't the first time her home's been shot.
And how many times do you think your home has been shot at?
For sure, I know it's three, but now I know it's four times.
Just to let you know, for sure, your house has been shot up four times. That's what she's saying. And I'm just doing that because I've already spoken about dialects. For sure is a very black southern thing. For sure.
Why do they keep targeting you?
I don't. Because they want my son, Nashawn Jones, dead.
Her son, Nashawn Jones, a local rapper, is also known as Honeycomb Brazy.
Where the hell are they coming up with all of these rappers' names now? Honeycomb Brazy. Like, seriously. Oh, man, watch out. Here comes Honeycomb Brazy. Y'all get in y'all's house. No, like, seriously, where the fuck are they coming up with some of these names? And I know, like, I probably should not be, like, making fun of this guy because I could be a target. But I gotta tell you, if you come shooting up my mama's house, I'm locked and loaded. Dad left me quite a few guns, so yes, please try it. Try it. I'm daring you. Honeycomb Brazy and your crew, the rivals, do I gotta come up to Mobile and regulate?
He's currently in Metro Jail, accused of violating his probation. He was arrested back in 2016 on gun charges. In February, Nashawn's grandparents, Tanisha's parents, were killed in a mysterious shooting and fire. Mobile police can't confirm the overnight shooting is in any way connected to any other investigation.
I know you don't have proof, but how is it not related? They killed the dude's grandparents and burned down his house, and now they're shooting at a vacant house that his mom doesn't even live in. Come on, guys, do your intel. Do your intel before you start shooting into an empty vacant house. You guys are wasting bullets. Ammunition is not cheap here in the United States now. Actually, there is actually a shortage when it comes to ammunition. It's like all the politicians and stuff are like, all right, well, we can't get rid of the guns. Second Amendment protects the guns, but the Second Amendment does not protect the bullets. So let's cut back on the bullets. And problem solved. You guys got to do better intel. Send somebody in there. Do a little bit of research. Set up surveillance. Use some drones. Why are these gangster rappers or these thugs not using drone technology? I mean, you can get a drone for pretty cheap, but it's coming. The Mexican cartels are already using drones. So why not these people? Like I said, you can get one of those off of eBay or Craigslist on the cheap.
Tanisha's heart may be broken and her home riddled with bullets. She's living now only on the hope The shootings stop before she loses another loved one.
I'm kind of like shaky. I'm kind of like nervous. I'm kind of like upset. And I lost everything.
Other homes have been shot into this week. We're going to map that out for you, where those occurred, coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, and ask Mobile police if they think those shootings are connected. Reporting live in Mobile tonight, Andrea Ramey, NBC 15 News.
I got to feel bad for Honeycomb Brazy's mom. I would like to know what his real name is. I bet it's something like Reginald. Like, Reginald was such a good boy. And then he didn't start having problems until he started naming himself Honeycomb Brazy. Yeah. When you name yourself Honeycomb Brazy, it's kind of like you're just asking for trouble. So, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. Make sure you check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle, as I return tonight doing the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream. Hope you guys have a great day. Hope you're safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover services brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
A society grows great when old men plant trees, the shade of which they know they will never sit in. Good people do things for other people. That's it, the end.